Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. On this Thursday, it is the PM team. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, and you at 412-928-9370. Ken Rosenthal on his Foul Territory podcast had a lot to say about the Skeens conversation. There was a huge article on MLB's website from baseball insider Mark Feinsand with quotes from GMs and team presidents on Skeens that we're going to get to in a second. This was a full circle Skeens day for me. I went to the Big Dicks. I went to the House of Sport in Ross Park Mall where they filmed the TJ Watt Christmas commercial. And they have the...
I didn't realize that was filmed there.
And they have the Skeens card. They have the Skeens debut card.
Actually,
did you go down and see it?
I did not go see it.
You should have done it.
I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah. It's downstairs.
That place is outrageous, by the way.
It is. Like, I spent over $300 there.
The sheer amount of stuff in that Dick's House of Sport is off the charts.
I had a great morning. I went there, and then I met up with my guy, Salam. I'm wearing his hat that he gave me. Salam's collection... He is a tailor of huge repute. He's from Egypt. And so now he has his own shop here. He does custom suits, things like that. He's fitting me for shirts and suits.
Congratulations on all your success.
But here is the big kicker to all this. I've made up my mind on something. My gift to Donnie for his wedding, custom suit. If he wants a custom suit for his wedding day or a custom tuxedo, for his wedding day, I'm sending him there.
Donnie, more use, I would say, and ask Tony for just a suit that you can wear after your wedding.
That's
every
what I was going to ask.
I think, is there a
Maybe
suit
that.
That's just a, obviously you're going to buy him a
he's
custom
got everything.
Suit. I think just ask him to get fitted for a suit that can be your go-to suit for future events. I think that's the move. That's a.
So I talked to Salam about this.
I think
and
that's
he
a
said,
very nice gift idea.
He said, let's do it. He's going to come in one day and he's going to size Donnie up on the air.
So he's going to do the whole measuring tape and everything. I find that whole process like fascinating because it's like old school craftsmanship. You know what I mean here?
Yep.
Now everything's done computer. This that it's what would that be? Artisanal. It's one of those things that like you're getting like a real actual human being to do it instead of okay, I'm on a clothing website. Plug in your measurements and this thing will spit back at you. This algorithm will tell you what size you should wear.
It'll obviously be on our YouTube. He'll
what
come
if you
in.
Keep losing weight, though? You've got to like find a happy Donnie weight when
well,
he measures
you. If
you
do, then you take it back in.
He lets it out
and
or
he'll,
whatever, takes
he'll
it
He'll adjust it again
He's
for
not going to have to let it out for Donnie. He's only going to keep taking it in. Eventually, Donnie's going to be in like the kind of clothes that they Pee-wee Herman dressed the doll in.
So
or
we had a lot going on. I saw the Skeens card. It actually made me want to get back into sports memorabilia and sports card collecting.
Donnie, we've already got a guy offering to get you cufflinks, nice cuffs.
There
you
go.
If you get a French cuff shirt for it, he'll offer. Gator has told you he'll supply cufflinks.
So if anybody wants to chime in on getting back into collecting cards and sports memorabilia and the best way to go about that, I'm interested at 412-928-9370. But the big topic is the Skeens trade talk that won't go away, even though we had the Pirates use John Heyman to say it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
This article, I want to get Mark Feinsand on the show because he did a great job of talking to people inside baseball about it. Here's the first quote from an NL executive, from a team president. I think the bigger question is, what's the plan? And do their actions match their words? If their intent is to compete during the prime years of Skeens, then they should push more chips in and back it up. Someone who you compete against in the National League saying, it's one thing to say you're going to build around Paul Skeens. Let's actually see you go out and do it. So that's not just a Pirates fan take, That's somebody inside of
somebody
baseball
competing with you.
Who's seeing the same thing. Like, okay, they can say all they want. They want to compete with Paul Skeens. You go sign Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. You're telling me you're not. Here is, though, the two-part quote in this article from two different GMs that I think is the most interesting. NL GM, the return on a trade would likely be as significant a trade return as we've ever seen. As we've ever seen.
Should be.
Okay. And this is what an American League executive said. So he brings up the Soto deal, and then he names the Red Sox. He said, I guess the Red Sox could send Tristan Casas, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, and Tanner Houck, assuming they won't trade their extended guys. Writing that down makes me think, maybe Pittsburgh should make a call. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. Casas is a first baseman who's hurt right now. Anthony is the best position player prospect in all of baseball. He's a center fielder.
Meyer was the guy people wanted them to
actually
draft.
The guy. Is it Meyer or Meyer?
I don't know.
Okay,
actually.
Meyer. Meyer's the guy that they probably should have picked instead of Henry Davis in that draft.
You could say that about a lot of players in that draft,
right?
But yes.
Christian Campbell plays second base for the Red Sox right now. And Houck is hurt but was an all-star last year. An all-star pitcher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Guys, if that's true, if they're, that's an American League executive saying that. If that's really what they think they could get for him, screw the optics of how fans would initially feel about it. That's the kind of trade that, I mean, you'd really have to screw the pooch.
Well, if there's anybody that's proven he could do it, it's Ben Cherington.
And if there's any team that's proven that they'll find a way to screw something up, it is the Pirates. I get all that.
I mean, in a way, they've screwed up Skeens, not directly, but indirectly, by screwing up everything around him and not doing a near good enough job, doing a terrible job building. They've screwed this up. Isn't it? I mean, a couple thoughts that spring to mind when we bring this up, Pony. It's depressing that we're talking about it, but it's like more depressing that we should be talking about it and we should be taking it seriously, because just out of like responsibility to the franchise, like trying to make things better, this is the kind of thing you have to at least consider,
right,
when somebody's discussing that kind of return.
So
both facets of it are a bummer in a way.
And you've got the Soto trade.
Yep, which yielded multiple productive major leaguers.
I'm old enough to remember when the Mariners traded half a season of Randy Johnson to the Astros. Mm-hmm. And the guys the Astros sent back to the Mariners in that trade ended up propelling them a couple of years later to the greatest regular season in baseball history. There were multiple players in that trade that helped elevate them to great heights. They lost the American League Championship Series to the Yankees, but still, like,
116-46.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fan in me says, I want to watch Paul Skeens pitch every fifth day. I want the Pirates to build around Paul Skeens. But if people inside baseball are saying things like, this would be, from a trade haul, what they would get back, to greatest return ever, how can you not at least,
you have to at least
see
humor
what's
the idea
out there?
You
exactly.
Have to humor it. You have to humor it. Because like because
you're far away from winning.
You've done a horrible job so far with him. This is the whole crux of it. You've done such a bad job as a team building around him that he's more valuable to you as an asset in a trade than he is as a pitcher on your roster.
If you're just a couple games under 500 right now or something like that, we're not even having this conversation.
No, well, the sound clip and everything that's come with this, Ken Rosenthal hasn't said this. It's never happened because nobody's looking at it that way. They're actually probably saying, yeah, the Pirates were bit by injuries a little bit here, and this team isn't hitting yet, but they're pitching a lot, and they're really right in the thick of things. They're out of it, man. They won 2 in a row. Big whoop. They're out of it.
They just tied the record for the longest streak of games without scoring more than 4 runs, and they're on pace to lose more games than they ever have in a 162-game season. I don't care what your starting pitching team ERA is. That tells me you're farther away from winning than you've ever been. And it's with Skeens healthy, and it's with him now with an entire major league season of pitching under his belt. I mean, Donnie, you are a ardent Pirates fan, although you've had your moments where you're getting a little bit sick and tired of this team.
More relevantly, he's more of an optimist than I think either you or I
are. If I told you that you could actually make this trade with the Red Sox, would you do it today?
You definitely have to make the call and consider it, but I don't have... Now, if it's that exact trade,
yes,
I'd probably do it. The problem is it won't be. It'll be a lot worse.
Why is it a lot worse? Because Ben Cherington's the boss?
Yes.
Well, that's the other, you can't let him do it.
And what was the Padres-Nationals trade that you cited on Twitter and got a big kick out of?
They got C.J. Abrams, James Wood, and Mackenzie Gore.
And you said if Ben Cherington,
made that deal, they would be getting J.J. Abrams, James Woods, and Al Gore.
J.J. Abrams did like Star Wars, the newer Star Wars.
Is he an actor or a producer?
No, he's a producer, director. He's a director. He's a director.
And Al Gore, we all know. And who is the middle guy?
James Woods.
The actor.
Yeah, you can't trust the guy to make a trade, especially one of that magnitude. I would not trade him solely for that reason.
But if you found out that Cherington could get these players back, would you still not trust it because you just think everything Ben Cherington touches turns to poo? Or would you still say, all right, this is not even like... Cherington can't even screw this trade up.
I'd still be worried
that he
could screw it up.
You say the phrase, Cherington can't screw this trade up, and all I hear is Ben cracking his knuckles in front of a camera and going, challenge accepted. Honestly. Because like it would disappoint us in some way. They've not made, I would say, a trade where they were giving up the big piece that like all their best trades, and just across GM's pony. Like Rincon for Giles it's like a footnote trade.
Here's another
little deals that have happened.
Here's another great quote in this story from an AL team president. As a team, they should consider it. As a franchise, they shouldn't. As a team, your job is to always consider those kinds of things. But as a franchise, I don't see how you send that message to your fans.
That's from the outside looking in. I mean, we hear it every day, though. Do you really think fans are shocked? I think we've already discussed this. I think the notion that they would float it out there, that they were really like listening on him and trying to get a deal done, people would say, good, set the guy free. I think there'd be way more people saying he's too magnificent a pitcher to be cooped up here.
And if you get back a starting first baseman, the best outfield prospect,
well,
the best hitting prospect in baseball.
The first baseman would turn into like a pumpkin here because no one's allowed to be good at first base for this franchise.
Your starting shortstop, your starting second baseman, and a guy who was an all-star pitcher last year?
What's Houck's injury?
I don't know. His ERA was over 8 this year.
If it's arm, then that's like that makes him less appealing. If it's oblique or something.
Chris, he ain't the centerpiece of the deal. He's like the throwing guy here.
I'd just pick a different throwing. You have to consider it, and my only hang-up is I don't want the current guy.
Strained forearm flexor.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's usually a precursor to you know what.
But even if he did get Tommy John, who cares? You've got 4 other guys, then you wait for him to come back.
Join,
I don't know.
Join up with Jared Jones and become rehab buddies. I think that they should consider it because I don't think it's going to get better here without some major seismic thing happening to the farm system. I just don't want the guy that's engineered all of this, Ben Cherington, to be at the control.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trolls if they do it.
Strictly from a baseball value perspective. Juan Soto, when he was traded from the Nationals to the Padres, had 2+ years remaining. Paul Skeens has 4+ years remaining. Mm. And you remember the return for Soto. It was one of the great returns in trade history. You're going to get even more than that for Paul Skeens. You're going to find a team willing to do that. Maybe. I just doubt it, as protective as teams are of prospects today. So if you're talking about the Red Sox, just as an example, Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony, mm-hmm. you probably have to start there. And I don't know that the Red Sox want to do that, even for Paul Skeens.
Ken Rosenthal talking about it, one of the biggest baseball insiders of all time. MLB.com wrote an entire article about it. That probably didn't sit well with the Pirates. Giving more fuel to the fire, another log on the fire. Paul Skeens, the Pirates have come out and said it's not happening. But when people inside baseball make comments like, it would be the biggest trade of all time in terms of what a team would get back, and then an actual team president says, I think this is what they could get back, and it's an unreal package that includes the best hitting prospect in baseball, the best shortstop prospect in baseball, an MLB first baseman, an MLB second baseman, and a pitcher who was an all-star last year. Five guys.
Pretty good.
And that executive was like, now that I write this down, they should make a call and try to do this thing.
I have to reinforce what an absolute bummer it is. And as a person who gets paid to talk about sports for a living, the idea of kicking around what the return would be for this player is interesting as an intellectual exercise. But what we do is try, I think, largely to tap into emotions when we talk about our teams here. And man, is it a depressing thing from an emotional standpoint. He is 33 starts into his Pirates career, has exceeded by any rational expectation what people thought he would do. And we are already bringing this up. Do you realize just how colossally bad they have to have screwed this up? 33 starts in for this to be not only a conversation, but a viable one.
I know, but this is a take lemons and make lemonade scenario.
But we never expected there to be lemons here. He was supposed to be the guy who was no more lemons. Now it's going to be awesome.
Well, yes, but there's also another analogy. You can have a rose among thorns all the time, and that's also a classic Pirates analogy. That happens to them all the friggin' time.
You can call it a
jack. And it's happening again.
It's not a thorn bush pony.
I didn't say thorn bush, but I said the rose was surrounded by thorns. I believe a man from Pittsburgh sang a song about that and didn't say every rose has its Jagger bush.
All right, my question is this. Does Brett Michaels count as a Pittsburgh guy? He's from Butler.
Yes, of course.
Well, wait a minute. Butler's its own distinct town. It's another county.
Come on, Donnie. We have to count him. We count Jim Kelly as a Pittsburgh quarterback, and he's from even farther away. Hell yeah, we should.
Yeah, I mean, from a national, viewpoint, though, if you go somewhere and you're going to say Brett Michaels, yeah, he's from Pittsburgh. He's from nearby.
Who's more?
I mean, it's kind of like me. I'm technically from Pittsburgh.
Who's more of
a Pittsburgher? About as Pittsburgh as it gets for my money.
Is Jimmy Stewart a Pittsburgher?
Indiana.
No, that's too far.
Comparable driving time to Butler proper.
No, I don't
count him. Is Dean Martin a Pittsburgher?
No, he's in a different state, Chris.
Really? Because he's from driving time, it's closer to Steubenville than it is to Butler. I can go out 22:30 and hit Steubenville in 35 minutes.
From where I live, Columbus is closer than Penn State. So should there be more Ohio State fans in Washington, PA than Penn State fans?
That's factually
riddle
not,
me that.
That's factually not true.
Okay, I needed to make it up to try to win my argument, and you caught me, you bastard. All right, how about West Virginia fans?
Yes.
That actually is accurate. Right? Morgantown's closer than State College.
Yes, it is.
Why are we doing this right now? We should be talking about Paul Skeens.
Because I'm depressed that we're talking about it, but I know we need
You sounded like Joe there. I'm depressed!
You want me to do the eyes here? I'm depressed!
All right. Here's
By the way, Joe just is... The shamelessness with which he pursues golf tips today was just reinforced yet again. That's all I will say.
And he has no shame about trying to get on courses for free.
None.
Here is Junior in the truck. Hello, Junior.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, man.
Give me 15 seconds here to just give you an idea.
Okay, go ahead.
We got a guy on the team who's got 100 games, 341 at-bats, 24 home runs, 81 RBIs, .367 batting average, .453 on-base percentage, .669 slugging percentage. That man is Paul Skeens the last time he played 2 years of baseball. I say screw it. Get him out there playing like Ohtani. Let me hear what your thoughts are, brothers. Thank you.
I don't think he wants to do it. The last time he talked about this, he seemed like he personally wanted to give up that pursuit. So unless you think the Pirates made him take that path, which I guess is always possible, but he seems to me like a guy that takes a lot of agency over his own career.
Butler,
and
by the way.
So I don't think he wants to do it.
Butler, as a last word here, somebody in the building texted me, and I got shut down here. People who live in Butler, definitely, if they listen to this show, count towards our ratings.
Right, there you go, Chris.
So I'm going to shut the F up here and say Butler is very much a part of Pittsburgh.
And we love Butler.
We love Butler. We love all of our Butler-based listeners.
Khalil Green was born there.
Khalil Green. Who else? There's other. Brett Michaels. I think we've got at least a couple more Butlerians.
Anybody? Oh, our boy Ethan Morton.
Of course.
We count him as a Pittsburgher. Come on, man.
Yeah, what was I doing? I'm very sorry.
You were just trying to be pedantic, as per usual.
I apologize to the fine people of Butler.
Matthew in Findlayville, one of my favorite spots. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, how are you?
Have you ever been to the country store, Matthew?
All the time. Best pepperoni rolls around.
Ooh, I've had
Mike
Florio
of Clarksburg, West Virginia, or thereabouts, would argue that Tomorrow's Bakery has
But that's
the best
not around here. Clarksburg is too far away, so you lost another argument. What do you got, Matthew?
I just want to talk about that Paul Skeens trade package that you guys were talking about.
Yes.
I personally would take that trade. And a big thing that I think people around here forget is that Bubba Chandler is still in our minor league system. And I think, I don't know if he's going to be as good as Paul Skeens, but I think he's a good second. And
you're breaking up here. Chandler is the least talked about big-time prospect the Pirates have ever had.
Because of the status of the team right now at the major league level.
And because people are so ticked off about how the major league team is doing, and they don't want to hear about a cavalry horse coming to save the day. It's crazy, man.
On the sports call last night, somebody called in and said they've got to bring up Bubba Chandler. This is ridiculous, and it has everything to do with Super 2, and it probably does. But I was forced, because of the dire straits that this current team is in, to say, why mess with Super 2 with him? Why, like, try to ignore that?
Oh, they're past
that?
Dire straits, Donnie. They're past money for nothing at this point. Well, that's a swing played about a half hour ago.
Money for nothing is just Tommy Pham. He's out there in left field most nights.
Good
point. But I just said, I don't blame them for holding him back if it is Super 2 related. What the hell is Bubba Chandler going to do to solve a team's problems when they're 17-33?
Theo texts in and said, I feel like when Salam comes in to customize Donnie's suit, it'll be like the scene from Mighty Ducks 2 where they go get suits. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you guys remember that?
I was never a Mighty Ducks guy. I know.
No.
I mean, definitely not the second one.
The second one's when they played in the Olympics or whatever Olympics version there were for
Wasn't
kids.
Wasn't that when they got the kid from like the roller hockey rink in L.A. and he had the knuckle puck they figured out? They had Goldberg.
That was Kenan Thompson.
I mean, they had a bunch.
Goldberg got benched.
And then wasn't D3, they went to college and they were the freshman team and beat the varsity?
Or prep school.
Yeah, it was something goofy.
But
in
Mighty Ducks 2, they got, I think her name was Julie the Cat Gaffney, who was from Maine.
Oh, yes.
And she, and Goldberg, it was like a Marc-Andre Fleury situation, losing his job to Matt Murray.
Now was
it should have been chanting Goldberg's
but
name.
But I think Gaffney was more well liked than Murray, because Murray never connected with the fans
well,
the way that Gaffney
they were upset
did.
The original Ducks that Gaffney was in, but when she made the pivotal save to win them the gold medal, they embraced her.
That's
it
true.
Was a lot like Murray.
Man, now we're getting into the YouTube comments are going deep. Is Erie considered a Pittsburgh?
No,
Erie
it's not.
Is far enough away.
With Paul Skeens, what would the message look like if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you've had six straight losing seasons, you're working on your seventh, and then you trade the best thing about your team, period. You've already had PR disasters this year with the taking down of the Roberto Clemente sign, the ceremonial bricks that you screwed up with as well. Obviously, those are off-field issues. This is an on-field question. And I guess if you could make a great trade for a team that can't hit, yes, they could use some offensive players. If you could do that, okay. Again, that goes back to the value question, and I just don't see it happening.
236. I give Ken Rosenthal a lot of credit there. He's either done his homework or someone has done it for him on the state of the Pirates and the blunders that have occurred here this season. It is time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Longtime Pirates insider turned columnist and fan host Jason Mackey, our guest right now on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jason, what did you make of this Mark Feinsand piece on Paul Skeens? I mean, well-researched. He talked to GMs and team presidents about it.
Yeah, I know. I thought it's very interesting. It opened my eyes to some things. I was listening to the show open. I thought you guys did a great job tackling it. The only issue that I have with it is I don't think that what Feinsand is positing, I think it was one AL team president, you know, laying out the return from Boston. I don't think there's any way of that happening. That is so much. That is such an immense trade.
Would
return.
You make that trade?
I would. Yeah. I would. I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
How would you sell that trade? Like, let's say it did happen, and it was like the shock, the blockbuster trade, one of the biggest of all time. If you're Travis Williams and Bob Nutting, how do you sell that trade to your fans?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you say that we have to look at ways to make our team better, and this makes our team better more frequently than a guy who pitches once every 5 days. It's going to be a tough sell. I mean, people are going to be mad, but if you can actually juice some offense out of this team, do it. I mean, to be fair, I don't like the idea of trading Paul Skeens. I'm fundamentally against it.
Well, that's why Chris said it's a very depressing topic. I almost said depressing. I don't know why I put it that way. But it is.
I mean,
how are we here 33 starts into his career, and he's got a 2.12 ERA in that time, Jason? How are we already not at the point where we're like humoring this, but it's getting brought up because things are so bad for the major league club independent of Skeens that it doesn't come off as like this cockamamie pie in the sky thought. It comes off as somewhat sober and realistic.
Because they've screwed up so much stuff around it, Chris. I mean, we should be talking about how do you best build around Paul Skeens? How do you add to this team? How do you make this team competitive? And one, they didn't do it this offseason. One of the reasons they didn't do it is because they thought they could small market their way to success. They've screwed that up. I don't like the idea of this GM making this trade, which I know you guys have talked about. I don't think this GM would wind up with anywhere near the trade return. And I don't think you can allow a GM who I don't think is going to be here next year. I don't think you can allow him to make this trade. I mean, they're not going to trade Paul Skeens, but that's why we're here, is that Ben Cherington and his staff have not done a good enough job supporting Paul Skeens, building things around him, adding talent to the team, etc. And it's a complete failure. But I don't think you answer that by making another trade, which would be perhaps the biggest trade in the franchise's history. I mean, maybe one of the biggest trades ever in baseball history if they would do this. You can't do that and let Cherington make the trade.
It would also be the thing you're not including there. It would be the most defeatist trade in baseball history, even though the return hypothetically would be really good. I can't remember there being a time in the modern era where a team would draft a player as good as Skeens and have him come up and be as good as Skeens has been, and this early in the guy's career, this early into the time of team control, deal him because they are so bad everywhere else. Like, that I think would be unprecedented, Jason.
The only saving grace there, and I agree with you, Chris, the only saving grace is if they could get that massive return back. Like, you could almost look at that massive return and find a reason that that makes sense. Where it breaks down for me, if they would trade Skeens, they're not getting that return. You heard Rosenthal say it. I mean, what if they would get two of those players, and then it's even more of a disaster? I mean, you would have to get this trade, and it would have to be such an overwhelming win. And those Red Sox players listed, they are kind of an overwhelming win. That's pretty good. What concerns me is when they don't get any of that and still make the trade. I'm still of the mind that they can build around this group. I know that's insane, but you have young pitching. If Jones was healthy, that would be great. But I mean, right now, Skeens, Bubba Chandler is going to be up here soon. Maybe Mitch Keller, Andrew Heaney, Braxton Ashcraft, Mike Burrows. I don't know. I mean, they have some pitching here. They should be able to figure out the offense and make enough moves to add some semblance of run support in front of this guy. It's just, with this front office, the way they're currently doing something, I don't have any confidence.
On that note about the front office, just like we've seen things change since Shelton left, the way that Kelly manages some of the things in-game that are obviously different than before, just because Cherington is still here, do you think other people within the organization will take on a bigger role for the trade deadline and the draft, Jason? And if so, who do you think those guys might be?
I mean, I'm not, how do I say this? I don't think it's a guarantee that Ben's here. It might be an interim GM. I don't think they're going to strip Ben of his responsibilities if he's here. I think you might see some people do some things differently. Maybe that's Kevin Graves, Steve Sanders, two of the assistants there. You might see them take on a little bit of a greater role. I think they've undergone a lot of shuffling in the front office in terms of like pro scouting and pro evaluation and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, people are going to be doing things differently there. I just don't understand how you can look at his trade deadline deals. They're not good. They're not good at all. I don't know how you're in the situation that they're in. There's zero job security for Cherington. I don't understand allowing him to go through another draft, and I don't understand allowing him to execute another trade deadline. Like, I would be looking at other people. I'd be looking at interim people or even a caretaker GM to execute this stuff.
Jason, I'm only laughing because Pony and I had a literal race during that answer. to see who could get your quote out there tagged quicker with, I don't think it's a guarantee Ben Cherington's here.
Did I beat you?
No, you did not.
Damn it.
I said, I don't think it's a guarantee that Ben Cherington's here. And then he and I both had to put in brackets at the trade deadline. So that was what slowed us down here, Jason.
All right. I said it.
No, I know. And I respect that you don't mind that we put it out there.
Wait, Jason, as a complete aside to this, when are you playing in this baseball game with Harry Callis? Is that this weekend?
When no, is that? I think it's in 2 weeks. It's like June 7th.
Have you
or something
trained
like
for
that.
It?
No, I'm
you
got to
get the arm loose, man. We don't want to see a shoulder injury or an elbow.
Are you going to face Callis where he digs in against you? Because I would actually pay to see that.
So I need to arrange. Callis works out like about 12:30 in Green Tree, something like that. I need to find a day and a time to get out there and even
put one under
like,
his chin,
Mackie. Myself that
how
I'm
if he's crowding the plate like he's Bonds, put one right
Donnie,
under his chin.
How has content king Craig Riley not gotten a video guy out there to record Callis going through his baseball prep
playing
for this wild
playing
things
pepper
game.
With Seth in promotions?
I know. Yeah. I gotta face Callis before doing this, man. I don't want to hit Callis. I certainly don't.
What was the
I'm
hardest you
will.
Threw at any point in your life?
I think he said 97. Oh, 85.
Not 97.
97.
About 80.
He'd 85. Probably still be in somebody's minor league system right now or something like that.
All right, Jason.
I'm 41.
Good stuff, brother. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.